Well, you're listening to The Pulse and watching The Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God. And I'm your host, John Fowler, along with Pastor Jay Mace from the Winfield Pulse Church.
What up?
What are you doing? I like that shirt. It matches really good with the background.
I planned that.
Yeah, just don't tip backwards. You'll fall off that rock. Yeah, that would be bad. Do you, when you were in the military, you didn't jump out of helicopters, but you actually roped out, what do they call that?
No, I've jumped out of helicopters, and I've rappelled out of helicopters.
Really?
Done both, yeah.
Is that fun?
Are you
afraid of heights?
I'm kind of iffy on heights. My thing with heights is, if I'm on solid ground,
yeah,
I don't care how high I am.
Right.
But if I'm not on solid ground, meaning I'm on a man-made structure.
Yeah.
Or I'm in a vehicle that I'm thinking, wonder how good these brakes are and different things like that. Heights will bother me a little bit. But if I'm on solid ground, like when I was in Germany, we went to Hitler's tea house, and it's way up in the Bavarian Alps there. And you know, you go into this helicopter inside of a mountain, or helicopter. You go into this elevator inside of a mountain, and it takes you up. And, you know, you come out, and you're on solid ground. And his tea house is there where he used to wine and dine all the dignitaries to get his support and whatnot. And, you know, you can walk around. There's a cross up there that memorializes, you know, some of the deaths that take place. And you can walk up to that and everything else. Well, the bus driver tells us that once you get up there, you can either ride the elevator back down, or that there's a pathway that you can walk down. And I mean, you're up there. These pictures are on my Facebook, so you can find this. And I mean, you're up there. I mean, I don't remember or know the elevation. Hi, TikTok.
There he is.
I don't remember or know the elevation, but you're way up there. And anyway, I had made friends with this couple from Australia, and then this one girl from I think she was from Persia, memory. But on the bus ride there, it was about a 3-hour bus ride, and we all became friends because we were sitting and everything. And we were all like, "Let's take the path down." And I'm like, "Yeah, man, that sounds cool." And I was perfectly fine. I mean, I'm literally on this little gravel path, doing this number back and forth all the way down that Alp.
Right.
You know, they call it that. It's an Alp, not a mountain. And so forth. I was perfectly fine. What are you doing?
My iPad's.
Oh, okay. I was perfectly fine. I'll carry it. I got you. So I was perfectly fine going up and down this mountain and walking on it and the heights and you know, realizing that if I was dumb enough to step off the path, which was perfectly wide enough that, you know, I would tumble to my death or whatever. But so that didn't bother me at all. However, when we were in Colorado, I'll make this quick. When we were in Colorado, yeah, we went to this amusement park that was up in the mountain, and we thought it would be cool. And I love to be up. We literally crossed the Rockies when we were there, and we've got pictures of us standing at the highest peak of the Rockies and looking at everything else. And I absolutely love that. Well, we decided the next day we're going to this amusement park that's on top of the mountain, and the gondola was closed for some reason, and so we had to take this bus up. And this bus driver just zooming up that road, and I know there were times that one of the wheels had to like be off the road because she is right on it, and I'm sweating, I'm breaking into a full sweat, you know, by the time we're to the top of that. I told my wife, I said, if we're walking down to leave, we're walking down, because I will not get back on that bus.
Right.
And especially going down, you know, where it's harder to stop. And so forth. So, I mean, that's just kind of, and the gondola was working again. We ended up riding the gondola, which is a funny story, by the way. I'll tell it real quick because everyone will like this. You're going to like this. It's hilarious. So
now tell them what a gondola is.
A gondola is one of those things, you know, like it's almost like a ski lift that's enclosed.
It's enclosed,
basically.
Yeah.
And so we're going down the gondola, and you know, you kind of bounce a little bit with that. And it's the four of us, me and Sam and our two sons, and we're going down the gondola and everything. Well, Luke and I have our back to the going down part, and here's Sam and Isaac. And then beside each of us was a girl that they put in with us, two girls that they put in with us. One was on each side with us. Well, we're just kind of going down, and I'm just kind of looking at the scenery, not really paying attention to anything. And it was hot in there because the windows weren't down. Well, this one, the two girls figure out how to get the window down to where we can get some air in, which right. was awesome. But it didn't look like they were putting the window down. It looked like they were opening the door to jump. And I'm like,
no.
Whoa, what are you doing? And I'm like, freaking out, thinking they're like getting ready to jump. And they look at me like I'm an idiot. I'm like, opening the window? And I'm like, oh, my bad.
So, oh, gosh. So
family,
you're trying to
family,
save them.
Family teases me on that one quite a bit.
So you're trying to save their
Yeah,
life.
I thought they had had enough. I thought they had decided they were taking the leap, but.
There was on one of the trips to South America, we had to take a bus to a retreat, and it was in the coffee region, and it was like that. It's like, I mean, you're on the verge of falling off the cliff, you know, and Keith Cobb, you know, we're on one of those buses that has the carpet hanging down and, you know, and the dice from the windshield and all this kind of stuff. And so, I mean, literally on this.
You know where else those buses take you, right?
No.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
And so the Keith literally, we had to stop and he got sick. I mean, and he was preaching that night at this. I mean, it was like, so then we found
that
out.
That probably would have been me too, because like I said.
Oh, man.
I'm on solid ground, I'm fine. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, but so it was like that. And so Christy asked the guy that took us, you know, with an interpreter. She said, let me ask you something. Do buses fall off of here, you know? He says, oh, about once a week. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding.
Nope.
Some of the places.
I'll see you next week.
Yeah. So we ended up going a different way home. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why they didn't take us. It was a little bit longer, but it wasn't. Mm-hmm. I guess they wanted us to experience, you know, the coffee region and all that. But I think I could have done without.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's pretty neat seeing Colombian coffee, you know, that you buy in the store being whatever they do with
being
it.
Being picked.
Yeah. And I mean, there's these big, huge mountains and there's nets under the trees. And I'm thinking, how do they get those nets under the trees? You know, it's like somebody's got to do that. But it is kind of neat. But that all started with helicopters. We went from helicopters to mission trips. To Colorado. We've been all
we
over
did.
The place.
We've been all over the place this morning.
And we were sitting right here.
People who haven't had their coffee are kind of like, what in the world are they talking about?
What are they doing?
Welcome to Time with Jay and John.
Absolutely.
That's how it goes.
You know, I thought it would be really neat to have a show called The Hot Seat.
Hot Seat.
Yeah, The Hot Seat, where people just, you know, whoever. I mean, it doesn't have to be you. It could be you sitting here and interviewing somebody else about, you know, something. You know, no doubt about it. So what's your thoughts on we have a new pope and we have all that. And he's from the United States. I mean,
and, you know, I don't have a lot of thoughts, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't really believe in Catholicism at its root.
Right.
Now, I, you know, don't anybody freak out, because I believe there are, you know, Catholics who have put Jesus in the rightful place in their life. And while they may still participate in some of the traditional ritualistic type things that Catholics do, I believe that Jesus is at the center of their life and everything. And you know, I believe that they would go to heaven if they died. So, you know, I'm not dumping on Catholics this morning, and don't anyone put those words in my mouth. I have good Catholic friends who I believe are going to heaven because Jesus is in the proper place in their life. However, I do believe that a lot of the Catholic religion is sacrament and tradition and ritualistic and isn't necessarily biblical. Yeah. You know, our vice president, who I like a lot, made a post yesterday on X and said, you know, congratulations to the new pope, blah, 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 and everything else, you know, prayers for you as you lead the church. Right. And I'm like, he doesn't lead my church.
Right.
Jesus leads my church, right?
Right.
And you know, so I think that's just kind of some of the differentiation there. I don't follow it a lot. I never tuned into it at all.
Right.
I saw the headlines on
all the networks.
You know, on, well, I don't know if it was social media or just like that little news blast when you log into your browser or whatever. I saw the headlines. I knew what was going on, but I can't say I really follow it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, because I think that, one thing, my wife was, Christy, she was raised Catholic. And
I have a lot of family that's Catholic.
Comes from a Catholic background. One thing I always liked when I first, of course, her mom and dad are passed away, mm-hmm. was the Christmas Mass.
Mm, it's beautiful.
It was just absolutely beautiful. And I loved going to that.
Yeah.
And because it just has such reverence, and it's the music, the pipe organ, all that kind of thing. But then, when it gets into so much tradition and different things that, that kind of loses me there. But, it's just amazing to me. It's amazing. Well, here's what's amazing is the fact is that when there's going to be a snowstorm or there's going to be a tornado watch, which we see more often around here than we ever have, people are talking about it for days.
Mm-hmm.
But there's coming a day where this world is going to be turned upside down, literally.
Yeah.
And the church is going to be raptured out of here. But nobody seems to talk about that.
Mm-mm.
But they talk about the storms and talk about this and talk about the trials and all that kind of thing.
Well, I think because it seems unrealistic.
Yeah.
To people who aren't really well-read.
Yeah.
And firm in their beliefs, this idea of Jesus breaking through the clouds and rapturing his church and all of those end of time things seem
kind of
unrealistic.
Yeah.
Like when he was put in the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone went back to doing what they were doing before Jesus. I think we're very much that same kind of Christian and that same kind of believer. We really buy in, and then when it doesn't turn out the way we thought it would or the way we wanted it to, we're kind of like, oh, well, I'll just go back to doing what I was doing before.
Yeah.
And I think everyone is very much that way. I think the church is very much that way. And, when we fully set ourselves apart and we fully begin living for his kingdom, which is biblical, not this kingdom. I've said before, and people give me a hard time about it all the time, but I'm like, look, I can take you right to the scriptures. Seek ye first the kingdom of man. Seek ye first the world. Mm-hmm. Seek ye first the things of the world. It's not what we're told. Mm-hmm. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. And so when we give ourselves, literally give ourselves over to the kingdom of God,
right,
then there, we're fully giving ourselves over to our God-given identity. And it puts us in a place where we're not subject to the things of the world anymore. And I firmly believe that when we step into that and are driven by that, that's when we begin to see kingdom things. And that's when we become resolved in our heart and in our mind about kingdom things.
Right.
So if you're living for this world, rapture just isn't that big a deal to you. You don't think about it every day. You don't pursue it every day because you're busy pursuing the things of man.
Yeah.
When you're pursuing the things of God, then it becomes an overwhelming realism because you're faced with the ideas today, let me think.
Yeah,
you're watching that eastern sky, and I would much rather live that way.
Yeah,
I would much rather live with that hope
mm-hmm.
than to live with the hope that I'm going to win the lottery, or I'm going to get a raise, or I'm going to have things down here, right? Mm-hmm. That's hope.
Yeah,
not saying that isn't hope, but it's what I would call fleshly hope.
Yeah.
The Bible speaks about fleshly hope, and I would much rather live with spiritual hope. You know, is today the day?
Yeah.
You know, come quickly.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus, you know, when you think about a man in John being in that place of I am ready, I have endured all of this, I have seen what's to come, and I believe it with all of my heart. Mm-hmm. Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, are we that resigned to the kingdom of God, or are we still participating in the kingdom of man? I think it goes a long way for us to make those determinations. Yeah.
When you think about and Pastor Jay is on this past Sunday is on part 8 of It's Your Turn, and one of the statements that you made is lose yourself in God and you will find yourself in Him. And I spent a lot of time on that phrasing. And because I thought, you know, how do you describe losing yourself? Now, I mean, tell me how.
This show.
Yeah.
No. I mean, honestly, I was thinking about that as I was driving here this morning. You know, I am not well caffeinated. I am not a morning person. Uh-huh. You know, so us doing this show at 7:30, 7:45, whatever it is,
right,
every week.
Yeah.
It is a full walk in the cloud spiritual moment for me. And there are days I leave here and I'm like, I have no idea what I said. I have no idea what
I talked
about.
You have to go back and listen to it.
And everything else. So, you know, it's one of those things where my flesh is not in gear.
Right.
When I'm here. I mean, honest, I'm not exaggerating by any means.
Right.
You know, I'm stumbling fleshly. I'm stumbling through the door.
Right.
Because this is the antithesis of everything that I am. Not a morning person. You know, I don't have conversations at the office until I'm like 3 cups of coffee in, at least.
Really?
And
does your staff literally say, don't go in yet, he's not had his
coffee? Oh, no, yeah, they truly do.
Really?
Yeah, they literally count my trips to the coffee machine and everything else, and they'll knock on the door and say, how caffeinated are you, Jay? And it's like, come on in, I'm good. And, you know, just, well, it's not so much that I'm grumpy, I'm not mean.
Right.
I'm just non-communicative,
right.
You know? It's just like I'm silent. I don't talk to anyone. You know, I'll even get texts early in the morning because people know I'm up.
Right.
And I'm thinking, yeah, I'll deal with that in a few hours. Because I'm just not communicative.
But you're the kind of guy that'll sit over in a corner and read a book versus
work
the room.
Yeah, you know, I can work a room as good as anyone, but if I don't have to, perfectly fine sitting in the corner. I don't need to be the center of attention, don't need to be the life of the party. And, you know, it's hard for people to believe because they usually only see me in one context.
Yeah.
And everything else. But, you know, Jay off camera, out of the pulpit, whatever you want to call it, is a very different creature than the one you see in front. But going back to this, literally, you know, I'll have people text me, man, great podcast this morning. Man, you said blah, 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 blah. I was like, did I really say that? Because that's kind of cool. So when you talk about losing yourself
right
in spiritual things and losing yourself in the kingdom of God, this show is very much that for me.
Wow.
Because it's one of those, man, I got to trust the Lord,
right?
You know, that I can put cohesive thoughts together and say things that matter and not just fluff it up while I'm sitting here.
Right.
You know, because I don't ever want to be full of fluff. I want to, you know, say things of meaning that people can apply to their lives and be new creatures because of. So
do you have to lose yourself every day, or can you get lost in Him and stay lost to where you can't find yourself?
I think we can absolutely lose ourselves and in Him and in the pursuit of His kingdom to where we just don't care about the things here.
Yeah.
You know, people come all the time, hey, did you hear about this? Yeah. Yeah, it's like the Pope. Okay, I get it. I understand it's historical from an earthly sense and all of these things like that, but I'm just not really that affected by it.
Right. Because there are many people will say, well, you know, this prophecy or this and, you know, and all that. And, you know, and I had someone tell me the other day that you know, they thought Elon Musk was the false prophet. And I said, oh, come on.
Yeah,
it's like, what? I said, that's the dumbest
it's
thing.
It's got to be Middle Eastern. So, yeah, I don't think that's going to fly.
And so, but you know, and one thing that we can say to you today while I look in the camera is stay in the Word. Yeah. You know, stop listening to what other people are saying and, you know, get on these rabbit trails, so to speak, that people get on. And, you know, I said this from the pulpit in Gasaway. I said, and here, this is something that concerns me. The mark of the beast, Jay, is going to absolutely, and hear me out before you turn this off, is absolutely going to be one of the greatest things in the world. And you know why? Because it's convenient. It's going to be convenience. It's going to be this. It's going to be that.
Well, you know, they're already coming up with mobile IDs, right? To where we won't have a driver's license in our pocket anymore.
Yeah.
It'll be on that. We just scan it and so forth.
Our phones are.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then that's going to graduate into something else and then something else. So, yeah.
And I said, here's my concern. And this is what I said from the pulpit. I said, what I'm concerned about is some of you all are going to be first in line.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. I mean, you know, we've preached to you all, you know, be aware, watch this. I mean, the Word of God says, but it's like people just, I think the church is gullible in a lot of ways. It's like,
well,
and you got to be careful with that.
I think it goes back to what we're talking about in that, you know, we're still lost in this world.
Yeah.
You know, we're still dependent on the things of this world.
Yeah.
You know, what would happen? I hate to say this because some people were in some very vulnerable places and made the choices they made because of the vulnerability of where they were. But, you know, I think COVID was a good sign of that.
Yeah.
Right? Where would this world be? Right, I'm not trying to be too philosophical, but where would this world be if we had to live like the Israelites lived in the desert?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing in the cabinet. I'm relying on God every single day to feed me.
Yeah,
and you know, everything else. And you know, I know the pundits would say, you know, God gave us hands, God gave us feet, God told us not to be slothful, God told us to provide for our family. Absolutely. He did say all of that, and we should be obedient to all of that. Not because of the world, and not because of what I can gain, or what I can get, or because I can eat steak instead of brown beans, or whatever. Yeah. You know, we should be blessed with whatever job we're given, and whatever's put on our table. Someone said something to me the other day, and I'm like, look, let me give you a great piece of marital advice. I said, if your wife works all day, or she keeps the kids all day, or she cleans house all day,
yeah,
and she still comes in and cooks a meal for you, you sit your butt in the chair, and you eat whatever she's put in front of you, whether it's your favorite thing or not. And, I'm not going to eat something that's nasty. I said, let me tell you something. I said, you go ask my wife, and she's probably watching. I said, I have never complained once about any plate of food she's put in front of me. I said, now some days we come in and we make sandwiches and we do our thing because that's our lifestyle. But if she's kept the grandkids all day, which is her life right now, or when she was working all day, or when she was an at-home mom and the kids went to school and, you know, she worked around the house and did the things that she did, cut grass for me and everything else like that so that I didn't have to do that when I got home and everything. She does all of those things for me. And puts a plate of food in front of me when I get home,
yeah,
I'm going to sit my butt down. I'm going to be appreciative. I'm going to thank her for it. I'm going to honor her with it. And I'm going to eat it.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And, you know, we're so self-centered. I don't think we really take time to step back and look at those kind of things. And, you know, when we think about a nation, right? And I realized it was very different back then. But a nation wandered in the desert for 40 years.
Yes. Yeah. Can you imagine?
And relied every day on God to provide manna.
Can you imagine this? And I preached a sermon on this. Can you imagine, okay, you and I are, let's say we're Israelites and we're back in that day and we're spending 40 years there. Hey, Jay, how you doing? What are you going to do today? Wander.
I'm going to kick sand.
Yeah, I'm going to wander. What are you doing, John? I'm going to wander.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do tomorrow? Probably wander.
I'm going to complain. I'm going to murmur.
Murmur, yeah.
I'm going to complain. I'm going to murmur. Yeah. And I'm going to kick sand all day.
Yeah. 40 years.
Yeah.
Because of disobedience. Lord have mercy. I couldn't do it. I would be like going nuts.
Yeah.
I'm just not one of these guys to stay home. But I'm right there with you when it comes to our wives. And it is coming up on Mother's Day. But the fact is that, man, if Christy cooks, I'm washing. I mean, we have a dishwasher. I'm washing dishes. I'm cleaning up after the table. That's the way we were raised. If mom cooked, man, you cleaned the table off.
Yeah.
And you made, and that was before garbage disposals and before all this other stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that there is a huge entitlement
but
in the world.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I think the point to that really is, don't get me wrong, I don't want to lose my job. I like my job. I like what we do. I like why we do it. I like how we do it, everything else. And, it hasn't made me rich by any means, but it has supplied for me. And I'm thankful for that.
Sure.
I don't need to be rich. Don't care to be rich. Not interested in rich. Not. Doesn't even cross my mind on a daily basis. My pursuit and my goal has always been to be debt-free.
Right.
And I'm largely there, other than our mortgage and utilities and whatnot. But that's taken work and everything else. And my purpose in being debt free isn't to get rich, right? And which is what a lot of the radio pundits and everyone else will tell you. Not my goal whatsoever. My goal and my desire of being debt free is not to be tied to the world.
Right.
I don't want to be tied to the world.
Yeah.
The more I can do to lessen this world's grip on me, the better.
Yeah.
You know, and if I can self-sustain, we're looking at maybe sheep farming and we've got all the seeds and we're getting ready to plant a garden and we're getting ready to start doing all of that stuff. Why? Well, not because I want to save money, right? I mean, that probably will happen naturally, but that's not the intent. That's not the goal. That was never part of the conversation. Conversation is, I want to be self-sustaining.
All right.
I don't want to be relying on this world so that if someone says, hey, I'm going to stick this needle in your arm and put something, that's going to mutate your DNA and all of these things and everything else that's going to affect generations to come in your family and everything else, I can look at them and say, no, thank you.
Right.
No, thank you.
Because you're self-sustained and you don't need that.
I don't have those pressures. Yeah. Right. Why? Because I'm not of this world.
Right.
I'm in it, but I'm not of it.
We're passing through it.
And that's the losing yourself, state of mentality. Years ago, I went through my Facebook, and really that's the only social media I'm on. I'm on all of the others, but just for the church stuff like we were talking about before. I have a TikTok, but I don't think I've ever once been on it. And everything. And, I went through my Facebook, and I went through, and I unfollowed everything political, and I unfollowed everything controversial, and I even unfollowed a lot of the sports stuff. And I'm a huge sports fan, other than the NBA, which I'm still shocked still exists. But that was a joke. I just don't want to be tied to this world,
right?
In any way.
And you were headed down to a road of political.
I was, yeah. So this is a complete 180.
Yeah.
For me, I had political aspirations and all of that, and was going to be a lawyer, and I was going to be Tom Cruise in the courtroom. You can't handle the truth, and I was all about that, and then I kind of saw that it's not that. It's a way of life that's very manipulative. And has no disdain for people whatsoever, but has more disdain for, has more influence by a system than it does people or anything else like that. I'm like, whoa, this is not what I signed up for. And that's where I was. I was very much in that crap. Where am I gonna what am I going to do now? This was my pursuit. This was my goal. This was, yeah. you know, my dream other than playing professional baseball. But this is my dream. And now I don't want to be these type of people that I'm, right. you know, that I'm sitting here with and everything. So what do I do? And, I tripped over the doorstep into where I am now, and 30 plus years later,
yeah.
I'm still there. And so God provided. Mm-hmm. Because why? I disassociated myself from worldly things and disassociated myself from worldly goals and worldly dreams and everything else, and said, whoa, this is not who I want to be or what I want to do, because this doesn't align with who I am in God.
Right.
And so I'm backing out of this, and now where do I go and what do I do? And God tripped me over a doorstep into something I never saw coming.
So if you lose yourself in God, then you will find yourself in Him. So is it about identity? When you lose yourself, does your identity change to where you're finding yourself in Him? Have you ever seen the movie Field of Dreams?
Oh yeah,
Kevin Costner.
Many times. Sam's favorite.
I've been on that field. It's out in the middle of Iowa. Mm-hmm.
We've been wanting to go, but
it's crazy. And you can walk through the corn patch, and there's nothing on the other side.
Yeah.
There really isn't. But this is in a way, the way I perceive this. It's almost like you're leaving this dimension of yourself, so to speak. And then you're transforming into the likeness of Him.
Mm-hmm. Which is the goal. Biblically, it's the goal.
So it's like you're losing yourself, but then the only way that you can really find yourself is looking in the mirror and seeing Jesus.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of where the phrasing lose yourself comes from. You know, what are we told in Scripture? And the church is kind of like, they're kind of to the point where they're like rolling their eyes, and it's like, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. And I'm constantly telling the church, do not pick up your cross until you've denied yourself.
Yeah, it's backwards.
Because you will absolutely fail and struggle and have hardship. Why? Because you are still operating in your identity.
Mm-hmm.
Your identity,
yep.
in the name of Christ doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. Until you bring yourself to a place that you are no longer a factor,
yeah.
and you are fully operating in Christ,
mm-hmm.
then that is when we take up our cross,
yeah.
right? And if you stop and you think about it, you know, the cross being the central figure of the church and being the central figure of Jesus Christ and what He did for us on that cross and everything else, it would be blasphemy to take up a cross and still operating in who I am,
mm-hmm.
and in my mindset and in my ways.
Yeah.
You know? So what do I need to do? I need to completely identify with Him,
yeah.
and no longer identify with this world, including my own goals and dreams and desires.
Yeah.
And to totally find myself wrapped in Him.
Yeah.
So that I operate like Him, I talk like Him, I think like Him. And I made a post yesterday on Facebook because I saw something, and I added to it. I'm like, you know, if you do anything, it needs to be in love, because that's how Christ operated.
Right.
Christ operated in love. Why did He heal people? He wasn't here to heal people.
Right.
He wasn't called to be our healer.
Right.
He was called to be our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But as our Savior, operating in love in the midst of us, He was moved by compassion to save us and set us free, not just from sin, but from infirmity and all of the other things that restricted us.
Yeah.
Why? Because that identity, you know, didn't matter. Oh my God, you touched a leper. I don't care about that identity. I care about where He's going in the kingdom.
Yeah.
You know? Oh my gosh, woman with the issue of blood, unclean. I don't care about that identity. That identity, I care about this identity and where her life is going to go and propel from here.
Yeah.
You know, and Jesus operated in that mindset and operated in love. So if we do anything, if we preach a sermon, it needs to be in love, right? And I've said several times lately, you know, and it's just one of those things that come out, you know. It would be real easy to look at a sermon, look at your notes, and look at your outline and everything else. Man, I'm going to step on some toes today, right? Well, what are you doing? You're bringing your freaking identity into that pulpit where it doesn't belong.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have that mindset. I shouldn't have that heart. I should be moving in love. And if I do step on toes, it should be a loving step, mm-hmm. you know, not a condescending, manipulative step on toes, because then I'm operating in the enemy.
Right.
Right? If I'm up here, you know, trying to make you mad because of my self-centeredness, right? Mm. I'm operating like the enemy. I'm not operating like Jesus anymore.
Right.
Right? Yep. And so it's important that I think we do lose ourselves and we allow our identity to fade and his identity to bloom and be robust in who we are.
You know, when you fall in love with Jesus, when you fall in love with God, you made a statement that says you walk in his fullness. When you think about the fullness of God, define that. If you're telling me that I know nothing about Jesus, I'm new in this thing, and you look at me and you say you need to walk in the fullness of God, and I look back at you like a mule in a new gate. Yeah, it's like, what is that supposed to mean? it's almost like that moment. It's like it's 3 a.m. Who's gonna know?
Who's gonna know? Yeah, if you knew some of the escapades John and I've been on, that mule in a new gate phrase takes a lot of references. But anyway. I think the reason we're not full is because we haven't fully denied ourselves.
Yeah.
Right?
Still have ourself in the cup, yeah, instead of emptying.
Our emotions are still at the forefront. Our mentality is still in the forefront. Our, you know, pieces of us are still in the forefront. And not even the backseat. Man, I want to live so full of Christ that I'm not even in the backseat anymore.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, we talk all the time, Jesus, take the wheel, you know, and I'm in the passenger seat side driving or whatever. Dude, I don't even want to be in the backseat. Right. I want to be completely gone and him fully in charge, right?
Yeah.
And so I think when we're not fully full, look, the world's going to do things to us, and I hate to phrase that as the world, but sometimes it is the world. Sometimes it's the enemy. Sometimes it's our disobedience, mm-hmm. right? Bringing the things of this world into our setting with God, and anytime we're not full,
yeah.
we've allowed something else in.
Yeah.
Right. I should be able to get bad news and not lose hold of my faith and of my identity in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
If so, I'm not full. Mm-hmm. I'm only partially full. Certainly not overflowing mm-hmm. in Christ, right? Overflowing doesn't mean I'm getting a whole lot of worldly stuff because of Jesus. That's manipulative, right? Mm-hmm. You're manipulating your prayers. You're manipulating the sacrifice of Christ and all of these other things when you're putting yourself in a place of, because of Jesus, I'm going to get this.
Yeah.
No. Jesus himself says you're going to suffer. Mm-hmm. You're going to sacrifice and everything. If you're going to identify with me, if you're going to be raised with me, then you're going to suffer with me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's scripture.
Yeah.
That's not my opinion. Right? And that's scripture.
That's true.
And you know, so I think our willingness to be full of Christ means fully sacrificing ourselves. And I think when we're easily manipulated into fleshly tones and into fleshly ways, then there's still a whole lot of us that hasn't been denied.
Right? It's like a cup, like that cup over there that you have. If it has... let's say that cup is the shell of us, and it's full of us, at the, from the top, you know, which means we're full of ourselves. But as we empty that cup of self, it's got to be filled with something. So the key is to fill it back with God to keep self out. Mm-hmm. And is that a constant thing that we're working on?
I think
is denying
until
the self.
We get there, yes, it's a constant thing. Yeah. Once we get there, it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be. We shouldn't keep introducing things to our flesh or to our spirit that we have to deal with, uh-huh. right? Because, you know, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Right.
Well, if that's not true, then number one, we're denying Scripture. But we're also not elevating ourselves spiritually to that place.
All right.
We're constantly putting things that takes the full presence and power and anointing of God away from our life. And that can be a number of ways. It can just be choice. It can be disobedience, you know, to where, hey, I really like this sin. I'm going to hang on to it because your grace is sufficient. Mm-hmm. Well, that's you're not denying self.
All right.
In that, I don't care what grace covers, you know, you're not denying self. Paul said, God forbid these right. things, you know, so.
Well, let me ask you something. Do you think when it comes to denial and giving up something within in our life, that's part of picking up the cross every day, is it not? When you say, you know, it's like, okay, you have a problem with greed or you have a problem with gossip, man, I'm going to have to put that on the cross today. Because I still struggle with that every day. But eventually, at some point, then, let me give you an example. I think you and I have talked about this. What is your thoughts on the rich young ruler? Did he really lack just one thing?
No.
Because I think you and I have talked about that. What do you
think? I think Jesus would have rebuked him, because I think that would have been...
When he said, just lack one thing, what do you think he meant?
I think he meant Jesus.
So he meant that. So he says you just lack one thing. I mean, do you think there was other things in this guy's life besides that? But the main thing was he lacked Jesus? Because, I mean, that'd be a pretty good place to be if you just lacked one thing.
But,
I mean, y'all couldn't stand me if I just lacked one thing.
But see, that's the problem.
Right.
That's the problem. Lacking Jesus...
Is the only thing.
And I think that's kind of the teaching there, is that Jesus is saying to him, oh, you're so full of yourself,
yeah,
that you just lack one thing.
Yeah.
So do this.
Yeah.
And prove to me you're all that.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus was really doing. Jesus was making him meet his own words.
He really was.
You know, oh, I've done all of that. I've done this. I've done that. Everything. I am completely full of myself, Jesus.
Yeah.
He was telling you his identity.
Right.
His identity, it was in the things that he had done.
Yeah.
His identity wasn't in God, right? And the law represented God, right?
Yeah.
So his identity wasn't even in the law, right? His identity, it was in what he had done. Right? So there was no denial of self right. whatsoever in his testimony.
All right.
And so I think Jesus' response to him was, oh, really? Let's see how much you're really all of that. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor.
All right.
I'm just going to cut to the bone.
Yeah.
Are you all that? If so, this should be easy for you.
All right.
This should be simple. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. You're not all that.
Right.
Right. It, because you lack me. You yeah. lack the desire for me. You lack you lack me as your goal.
Mm-hmm.
And you lack me as your guide. I am not your light. I am not your salvation. You are. And until you get past that,
wow.
you will never have me as your light and salvation.
Wow.
And you know, I think that was Jesus being a very loving,
mm-hmm.
but direct,
right.
I'm going to squash this mentality,
right.
kind of savior. Wow. I mean, I think it really was
squashed him like a bug.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when
With his own words.
Yeah.
With his own words and with his own doing. And that's the thing. When we want to grandstand in ourselves on Christ, man, he's going to whip that. He's going to whip that platform out from under you in a blink. And he's going to make you eat every word of it.
Yeah, because, you know, you have grandchildren, I have grandchildren, and it's
amazing.
How many times do they say, or pitch a fit about, you know, they didn't get what they wanted, or something like that. And it's like I looked at one of my grandkids the other day, and I said, you know, you cry like that when somebody dies. I said, not because you didn't get a toy.
Yeah.
But at some point, you're supposed to outgrow those things.
Mm-hmm.
But then some of those things will carry over into adult. There was here's an example. We had a child at the daycare one day was picking on another kid, and the lady that was working there caught it pretty quick, you know. Well, this one kid went and hid because he thought he was going to be in trouble.
Mm.
And here's the thing. Who taught that kid to hide?
Yeah.
Did he go to a class? And I said this to him. I said, let me tell you the sin nature. I said, did his mom say, okay, when you hit somebody, go hide? Did he go to a class like reading or arithmetic or something and say, okay, when you hit somebody, you hide? No. It's the nature that needs to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the nature. And so
it's like I was in Walmart one time, and one of the boys, I won't say who, but one of the boys decided to have a tantrum. I don't even remember what it was over, but decided to have a tantrum.
Yeah.
Threw himself down on the floor and everything else. So I just pushed my buggy over out of the way, and I got right in the middle of the floor beside him, sat down, crisscross applesauce, on the floor with him, and said, we'll be here until you're done. And I had all of these people come. Do you need something? Can I help you with something? Employees coming up to me, everything else. Because we were in the walkway.
Right.
But you know, this one lady even came over and everything else. Does he need a toy? I can give you the money to buy him a toy. It's like money's
not an
money's
issue
not
here.
The issue here. If I wanted to buy him a toy, I could buy him a toy or a candy bar or whatever it is. And everything. And I remember this one woman looked at me and says, why would you do this to him? I said, because I'm raising men and I'm raising gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
And this gets nipped
now.
Today.
Yes.
And she was like, okay.
Yeah.
There's just not that much of that anymore.
No.
We coddle and baby and allow this run, you know, sin and hide nature, as you said. We coddle that to the point that by the time our kids become accountable, man, they're so lost.
Yeah.
Kids today are so lost,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, they can't even find themselves.
Yeah.
Right? We have so many kids struggling with you know, various mental things, and I'm not belittling that at all.
Right.
But because I think it's a nature that we've created,
mm-hmm.
by not nipping the little things. When your little Dobson says there are some things that absolutely should be nipped by 3 years old. Yeah. Otherwise, they'll become a lifetime crisis.
Wow.
You know, some things should be nipped by 7 years old. Otherwise, they'll become a lifetime crisis. These things, you know, they are things that you need to deal with. Deal with them scripturally. Mm-hmm. Explain scripturally why you're dealing with them.
Mm-hmm.
And which is a big Dobson thing, you know, don't ever reprimand without giving the scriptural context of it.
That's good.
Because there's power in the scripture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which will bring spiritual power into that situation. And so forth. And I'm just a firm believer. I'm not, by no means was I a perfect parent. By no means am I a perfect grandparent. But I also believe that there are certain things that if I had allowed,
mm-hmm.
would cripple my kids today.
All right.
If I had coddled, it'd be crippling my kids today.
Yeah.
And everything. And, you know, and I think we have to step into that. I'm thankful that when we found out we were pregnant 3 months into our marriage instead of 2 years in, like we'd planned, and, you know, she was on the pill, everything, you know. So this was a God thing. God moved in this, not us.
Right.
And so this was God's decision. It was kind of like, oh crap, you better believe I ran to Tolly's and bought every Dobson book on the shelf.
All right.
And
read them
I
all.
Just I started reading them and reading them and reading them over and over and over and over again because I knew I wasn't ready. I knew I can't figure out being a dad. I need Dobson to tell me how to figure out how to be a dad. And you know, and when you put it in a scriptural context, then it allows us to lead and develop and reprimand according to God, not according to ourselves.
Yeah.
You know? And you know, when we walk from a when we enter a situation from a place of spiritual authority rather than a I'm the parent, do what I say. Right? I never once said that to my kids.
Right.
Never once.
Not like because I said so?
Yeah, I never once was a because I said so parent. I was always a, look, let me help you understand.
Yeah.
This is what we're dealing with. This is what Scripture says. And I choose to be scriptural.
Yeah.
I choose to be that person.
Yeah.
And that's why we're going to do what we're going to do. And so forth. What are you doing in that? Well, I'm not bringing my authority.
Right.
Even though I was appointed to be your father and your parent.
Right.
I'm not bringing my authority into this.
Right.
I'm bringing God's authority into this.
Right.
That's so and then that power resides there. That's not my teaching whatsoever. That's Dobson's teaching.
So
that's,
good.
That's well. Oh, the guy's so.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a tenth of his smartness. He's brilliant.
You know, you said one of our final questions here. When you find devotion in the rock, you will taste the honey.
Yeah, and that was just one of those things that kind of came out that day. The team had sang "Honey in the Rock," and you know, when you think about that, you know. And unless you really research the scriptures on it, you think, well, how in the world can I get honey from a rock?
All right.
You know? And what we find is in the stability of Christ, there's a level of peace and joy and sweetness that we can't find anywhere else.
Right.
You know, we can go on great vacations and we can see beautiful things. And we might have a week of peace and relaxation and joy and fulfillment, but then we're coming back home,
right?
And that peace, joy, and fulfillment, while it's a phenomenal memory, isn't something that's sustaining,
right?
But if my peace and my joy and the sweetness of this life is produced from a life in Jesus Christ, then I can walk in that every day.
Yeah,
I don't have to go to Tahiti or Alaska or wherever to find that level of contentment. I can walk in that contentment every single day.
Even going through the fire or even going through...
whatever it is.
You know, a good day or a bad, you know, tough day.
Yeah.
You know, when you look about...
If we can easily lose our peace and our joy, I mean, if it can be snapped away from us by a mood
and
like
I've seen
that,
people like that.
And,
you have
and everything, then you know what? We're not really abiding...
Yeah,
in the fullness of God, and we need to fix that.
Yeah, it's good enough for me. It's good word. You know, have you ever researched the prophet of honey and how it helps? I take a spoonful of honey every day, raw honey. Now, the honey that you buy in the store has syrup mixed in it,
right?
In it, but the raw honey has so many nutritional factors to the body.
Yeah.
And so every day I take a spoonful of olive oil and extra virgin olive oil and a spoonful of honey. And honey, they back in the Egyptians, you know how they buried stuff with you know, the Egyptians. There actually is honey from all those centuries ago that is still good.
Yeah.
And because it never goes bad. And so when I'm thinking about that, now it may crystallize, but all you have to do is heat it up again, and then it comes back to itself. But
it's funny you bring up the Egyptian thing. I know we need to close because both of us have places to be. But the Egyptian thing came up one time. I forget, it was a class or something that we were doing, and not me and you, but just I was part of. And this person brought up the fact about Egyptians, you know, taking all of this with them when they were gone and everything else. And I said, yeah. I said, I just told my wife to bury me naked. Oh, and everyone looks at me like I'm making a joke or whatever. And they're like, do what? I said, yeah, bury me naked. And everything, why would you do that? I was like, okay, well, number one, I'm dead. So it doesn't matter. And number two, if we think about that idea of, okay, I'm going to bury you in a Pittsburgh Steelers jersey because that was your favorite team. Or I'm going to put your Marine Corps blanket that you sleep with every night, except when it's in the laundry, you know, in there with you. Well, I'm not going to get cold.
No.
You know, and everything else like that. And so, you know, I'm certainly not going to present, you know, to Jesus, oh, hey, here's my Pittsburgh Steelers fandom. Right. Oh, hey, here's, you know, my history of being a Marine. You know, I'm not going to present any of that to him.
No.
You know, so I don't need anything in the.
Right.
I don't need anything in the casket. Right. You know, I'm just going to rely on his work on the cross.
See, one thing about
to get
it,
me through.
I told Christy, you know, when you sit down and you do your will and, you know, which mine is done. And one of the things that I said is I want to be cremated because that saves so much money.
Sure.
And so a lot of people say, I don't care.
Yeah.
And here's one.
Here's my response to the negatives on cremation.
Yeah.
Look, there's been people who've been eaten by fish.
Oh, yeah.
If God can resurrect that person,
yeah,
then I'm sure he can resurrect a cremated person.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I was sitting down telling Christy, I said, you know, I want to be cremated, and I have it, you know, if you outlive me, then I have it for you to speak speak the message and to keep it, you know, very positive and a celebration kind of thing. And I even have who I want to sing. And then I said, and do not read the 23rd Psalm.
Yep.
Do not read the 23rd Psalm. My Lord, have mercy. But anyway, so I told Christy I want to be cremated. So
you know I'm gonna do that just to spite you.
Oh, well, what if I outlive you? I don't know. Maybe we'll go together through the rapture.
But, I hope.
Yeah. So here's what's funny is I told Christy I want to be cremated, and you know what she did? She scheduled it for next Thursday. And I'm thinking, I got a reminder on my phone. I got a reminder on my phone. She's already scheduled it. I'm thinking,
that's funny.
That's pretty bad, isn't it? Hey, we're glad to have you tuned in to the Pulse WV Live, and thank you for sharing, Pastor Jay. Are you going to continue this next week or this
week? Yeah, until the Lord says so. We'll finish out Psalm 119 and then move on.
That's a big chapter.
Not as big as the book of John when we pretty much took a whole year to go through it.
You really did.
Yeah.
You did. Hey, three different ways you can give to this ministry. And all of it, I mean, it's just so much of it goes back to the ministry and even the food bank that Pastor Jay has. And, man, it's just exciting what God's doing. You can text the word PULSE to 1-304-244-3187. Go to thepulsechurch.com and give through PayPal. Or you can mail your love gift to P.O. Box 53, or not P.O. Box, but street address 5368 State Route 34, Winfield, West Virginia, 25213. Thanks for listening and watching the Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God. Have a great day and a great weekend. And thanks for watching on TikTok, YouTube, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music. You can catch us on all the networks, and we appreciate it. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you again on Monday for the next edition of the Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God.